The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. It's the Twisted Tuesday, and we don't have any football on the board tonight, at least yet, but we're going to be talking football, we're talking baseball, we're talking Ryder Cup, we're talking play-by-play announcers, and we're talking everything else in between, including college football as well. Steve Merrill will step up and in and kick it with us. We've got Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports who will join us a little bit later on. Andrew McCannis, Wager Talk in the house. Let's start off on the diamond, the Toronto Blue Jays. I tell you what, man, this kid Manoa, Blue Jays win when he's on the hill. They are now 14-4 in his starts, and I believe it's now nine of his last 10 starts that they've won, and they beat a pretty good Tampa Bay Rays team. The Blue Jays are battling, and I'm starting to buy in. I've been hesitant to completely buy in when it comes to the Toronto Blue Jays due to their sort of immaturity, I guess is the best way I'll put it, but I don't know. I don't really know about their maturity. All I know is they're winning a hell of a lot of baseball games, aren't they? But they weren't the only ones. And that's why we've said it before. We're going to say it again, man. It doesn't matter whether you're playing early in the season or late in the season. Every damn game counts. And, you know, the games that get away from you earlier in the year, yeah, you'd like to get them back right now. Because, like, if you look, some of these teams, you're like, all right, we won. All right, what's going on? Let's look at the standings. And I guarantee to you, listen, Major League Baseball players don't look at the standings in the regular season very much. They really don't. Managers might a bit, but, you know, managers really aren't obsessed with it either. You know, it's – but at this time of the year, everybody is obsessed with it. Everybody is scoreboard watching right now. Like, guys are in the outfield looking up and going, all right, what are the Giants doing? What's the score there? Right? Like, this is intense stuff, and there's not a lot of room for error. There's not a lot of room for error at this time of the year. Like, basically, a two-game losing streak and you're done. It's one of those deals. So it's like it's you're running the gauntlet. So the Yankees won, the Red Sox won, the Blue Jays won. Who's going to be the one to fall tonight? It looks like it could be the Oakland Athletics, which means Seattle would still be lingering right now. Atlanta need to win baseball games. Atlanta are winning the baseball game. We've got some serious stuff going out on the coast right now. San Diego is up 4-3 on San Francisco. And it's all about the National League West right now, and it's all about not playing in the wild card. So, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff to break down here this evening. Jim Houston announced retirement after 40-plus years in the broadcast business. Jim Houston, longtime play-by-play voice, Hockey Night in Canada, Vancouver Canucks, did some Blue Jays, did a couple of Olympics. Great save, Luongo! That's my Houston impression. Great save, Luongo. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. Welcome to your late night therapy. Let's do this thing. It's a Twisted Tuesday. We got a full house. Steve Merrill's going to kick it with us from Wager Talk. We got Andrew McCannis from Wager Talk. We've got Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports, covers the NFL and is their sports gaming analyst. When I say sports gaming, I mean betting, baby. Betting. We'll talk NFL football with Frank Schwab. We'll talk college football and NFL football with Steve Merrill. We'll talk NFL football and CFL football, maybe a little NHL hockey as well. With Andrew McCannis. We'll also talk about the Ryder Cup is coming up in a couple of days, and we've got some good angles to break down. Craziness on the diamond right now. I don't know, man. This baseball stuff feels to me like it's almost like March Madness. It really is. It's like every one of these games, every out, every pitch is like critical. And I sometimes wonder, and I like Kenley Jansen, but I'm like, really? Like, why are you leaving him in the stupid game? Why are you leaving him in? All right, so now listen, nothing's going to be easy. Nothing's going to be easy. And I know that San Diego hate Los Angeles, right? So that's what's great about this time of the year as well. Like, San Diego beating San Francisco would really help the Dodgers out if the Dodgers are able to actually beat Colorado. Yeah, Colorado aren't an easy team to deal with, man. These guys are like a damn, they're like 18 games over 500 at home. All right, and the San Diego season's on the brink. We got a one-run game there. We'll keep our eye on that. San Diego's up 4-3. These stupid Giants beating them's like trying to outdrink Andre the Giant. It's not easy. All right, so unless you're up 14-3, this is going to be a sweat job. I'm sweating it all out. I got money on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Unfortunately, I also have money on the Oakland Athletics, who are screwing things up. But that's why all these teams are battling for the wild card, because you kind of suck and you can't win enough. So we're talking baseball, we're talking football as well, college football, NFL football. We got the Ryder Cup, and we're right back at it on Thursday night football. There's been line movement. Money's coming in on the Carolina Panthers, don't you know? Carolina Panthers are unbeatable. Sam Darnold is going to the Pro Bowl. And Matt Rhule, Coach of the Year. He beat the Jets and the Saints. Now they're laying 7.5 points, as Lee Corso would say. Not so fast, my friend. I like Lee Corso. And I can't say that about everybody. We got a full house. This is Sports Rage. You know the digits, you know the drill. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Oh yeah, it's all set. They got the bug boy out.
The bug boy? Yeah.
The little fella's been riding his heart out. They're gonna break his maiden.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a little slow out there. Rain last night. Oh, this baby loves the slop. Loves it. Eats it up. Eats the slop. Born the slop. His father was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
What did I just say?
Oh, yeah, it's the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people who bust them, the degenerates, and everybody else in between. Los Angeles are up 5-4 right now on Colorado. But there's runners on. There's runners on first and third. There's two out right now. There's a ton of Dodger fans in the Mile High City. There's a ton of Rockets. It's like a playoff atmosphere in that stadium right now. And it's intense across the board. San Diego is up 4-3 right now in the bottom of the fifth inning. And this is, wartime can bring a strange bedfellow, so to speak, right? Like, that's where we're at right now. As I stated earlier, like, San Diego hates Los Angeles, but San Diego, if you win, you're helping Los Angeles out. You win, you're helping Los Angeles out, but you're also helping yourself out. I cannot believe that between the system is flawed, okay? And I know that it's kind of an anomaly that we're going to have two teams that were so good in the same division, but it's kind of like ridiculous that the Dodgers and the Giants are like basically nearly 50 games over 500 and they're going to have to play in a wild card and then have to play against each other if they survive the wild card. The system is clearly flawed. Right? So, but everybody knows the rules coming in. We all knew. We all knew the format, even though you changed the damn format every year, it seems. And the Los Angeles Dodgers are victorious. The Dodgers survive. 5-4 final score. Los Angeles now move within half a game and can be tied. With San Francisco. So we'll be keeping our eye on this this San Diego game right now. Like I said, man, this is like March Madness right now. It's almost like, it almost feels like it's like single elimination, and it almost is. Like, if you're San Diego, you can't blow this. You need to win this game. You need to win this game, and in fact, you need to win again tomorrow. Right? It's as simple as that. There's like, you're at a racetrack. There's no more ifs, ands, or buts. It's like, hey, you better effing win the game, man. You know, you put yourself in this position. We all make our own, create our own circumstances in life, right? Oh yeah, I'll do it later. How many? Hey, we all do it. I'll do it later. It's like Homer Simpson said, I'm going to go to the mall later to meet Mr. T. But when I got there, the guy at the mall told him he was just gone. He just left. You know what's crazy? That actually happened to me in real life. Like, so, Homer Simpson's talking about once, like, you know, he regretted something in life, how, you know, he didn't go meet Mr. T at the local mall, and when he finally went, it was too late. The security guard told him Mr. T just left. He goes, and I asked him if he's coming back, and he said, I don't know. I'll never forget, I actually met Mr. T on Hollywood Boulevard once. Mr. T was, like, signing autographs and taking pictures at some sort of booth. So crack my ass up when I saw Homer Simpson talking about meeting Mr. T. But my point is, you put things off in life, and, you know, then if you do them after, you're going to be rushing. You know what I mean? You're going to be rushing, and it won't be as effective. So it's the same, you know, all those games that you lost, all those seemingless, harmless at-bats that you gave away, you know, that night that you lost against the Miami Marlins because you all went out that night and went too hard, etc. Well, all those games are the reason why you're in a panic right now to win more games. Handle your business. Handle your business, and then you handle your party. Speaking of which, I see Ben Simmons. So I guess this is real. Ben Simmons has told the Sixers he's not, you know, he's not playing for them. Like, is that some sort of threat? That's like somebody trying to rob you with a plastic fork. Like, what? Like, is that some sort of threat, Ben Simmons? Ben Simmons telling the Philadelphia 76ers they just want to play for them. That's like NSYNC announcing that they're not going to do another record. Nobody cares. Has there been somebody that's more self-centered, narcissistic, and that overvalues their own self-importance? Well, I guess, you know what? I was going to say more than Ben Simmons, but that sounds like everybody in today's day and age, doesn't it? Like, really? So, yeah, I just wanted to, I saw that. Oh, Ben Simmons. Yeah, Ben Simmons. Dude, you suck, bro. Like, I don't know, like, and this is on the Philadelphia 76ers as well, for actually, like, thinking, like, for whatever reason, that you're going to get multiple picks and players back for a guy that's as terrible as Ben Simmons. And you know what? I used NSYNC as an example. Justin Timberlake was in NSYNC, right? I know there's the Backstreet Boys and Backstreet's Back, all right. And there's NSYNC. I'm pretty sure Timberlake. Basically, I think Ben Simmons is like Justin Timberlake. They're overhyped, they bang hot chicks, and they suck. You know, I think that's it in a nutshell right there. Actually, you know what? Justin Timberlake has more talent than Ben Simmons does. And that's saying something. So I guess, yeah, Justin Timberlake has more talent. So I don't even know, like, I mean, I think we're being too kind. We're being too kind to Ben Simmons. Like, if Ben Simmons was a musical artist, you're Milli Vanilli. You're a fraud. You're Milli Vanilli without the cool hair and dance moves. You're terrible. You know, like basically like Ben Simmons. And it's amazing to me that a guy that passed up an open dunk in the playoffs, instead of manning up and saying, you know what, I'm going to work on my game. I'm going to play in the Olympics with Australia. And I don't know, you could have won a medal, jackass. Instead, you wanted to go to Wimbledon with some hot model chick. And now you think? I'm surprised that nobody's punched you in the face in Philadelphia yet. Considering that city that they threw batteries at Santa Claus, how the hell are they not throwing batteries at you? Like car batteries. Like not just like Duracells, like car batteries. Like, not that I advocate throwing car batteries at NBA players. But if Ben Simmons is not an NBA player, he's an NBA pansy. It's unfathomable to me that a guy that makes as much money that he does and is as bad at his job as he is has as much attitude as he does. And if you're Philadelphia, you should trade him for a freaking snowball if you could. Like, seriously, like a snowball of slush. Some nice winter Philly slush. Or an 8-ball of blow. How's that? We'll trade you Ben Simmons for a 3.5 grams of cocaine. What is 3.5? What's an 8-ball go for on the street now, anyways? Yeah, what's that? $150? $100? Like, honestly. Like, my Josh Allen autograph helmet that's behind me right now is worth more than Ben Simmons is. You guys should, like... Andrew Wiggins for Ben Simmons is sort of listenable. It's like if you're Golden State. It's like, all right, but you want to give us Ben Simmons? All right. Because even Andrew Wiggins is better than Ben Simmons. Like, Andrew Wiggins also does not care, but at least Andrew Wiggins can still score 22 points without caring. All right? Like, that's, you know, it really does, Ben Simmons is the epitome of the modern douchebag kid athlete. Arrogant, I think I'm good, walk around like I'm some sort of king. Never accomplish anything in my life besides bang a Kardashian. Hey, you made it, kid. Late night anger management class.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Came here to play.
All right.
No lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it.
Mo, $23 on New York.
Yeah, right on cue. San Francisco ties the game. As I stated, scoreboard watching, they looked up. They're like, all right, look, Dodgers won, guys. Dodgers won, huh? And then, boom, next thing you know, it's tied. Great. Great. Honestly, if I was San Diego, you should turn the damn scoreboard off. Turn the damn scoreboard off, man. You know what I mean? Do anything. And you know, the Joshes take the lead now? Yeah, of course. Here it comes. So the onslaught is on. It's... And this will be a complete, this will be game, set, match. So I see 4-4 right now. 4-4-4. Seattle are up 5-2 on Oakland. Big loss. For Oakland if they lose this game. And a big win for Seattle. Things are getting crazy. Crazier than Ben Simmons. All right, so I'm really aghast by this Ben Simmons stuff. Like, it just won't go away. This Ben Simmons stuff, like, you know, but I guess whatever, the NBA is set to start in less than a month, so it's time to figure something out. So yeah, San Francisco's now up 5-4. It's time to figure something out. And honestly, and it's funny, so I'm seeing, like, there's all kinds of media stuff, all right, what deals and stuff, and now I'm seeing CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons. What are you guys on, fentanyl? Like, what kind of drug are you on that you think that I'll give you CJ McCollum, some dude? Listen, I don't think Urkel's great. I think Urkel's, you know, he's a little overrated himself, but at least Urkel shows up. All right, like Ben Simmons, like really, I don't understand like how they think, like they actually thought like Damian Lillard? Like the Philadelphia 76ers thinking that the Blazers are going to trade Damian Lillard for Ben Simmons is like one of our trolls believing that like Megan Fox is going to come over to their place tonight and hook up with them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand, like, just how delusional everybody is on this. I've got one deal that makes sense. I've got one deal, and honestly, I don't even want to trade Andrew Wiggins for Ben Simmons. I don't even want to do that. So, I got one deal that makes sense for another sorry-ass player that's just a pain in the ass that sucks and, you know, it's just whatever. It's a waste of money. John Wall. John Wall, meet Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, go to Houston. There's your deal. There's your deal, right? Nobody wants either of you. Like, people are not lining up for you, Ben. And they're insane. Like, even Sacramento aren't stupid enough to give De'Aaron Fox up, are they? Although, you never know. Sacramento are pretty stupid. They really are pretty stupid. But I've been saying this for years about Ben Simmons. So I'm not just on this party now, and I still see a lot of so-called smart NBA media people that are actually proposing these deals like Ben Simmons for good players. What part of this do you not understand that Ben Simmons is not a good player? Listen, Ben Simmons is a good defensive player, and he's a decent passer. That's not $37 million a year, right? So if you want to pay, if Ben Simmons made $18 million a year, then whatever. Ben Simmons is a good player. You make $37 million a year, you're not a good player. And like I said, John Wall makes a lot of money. John Wall doesn't want to play in Houston because, I don't know, John Wall thinks that like he should be on the U.S. Dream Team or something, I guess. So you have two delusional guys in John Wall and Ben Simmons. Just trade each other. Like, and if you're Ben Simmons, what are you going to bitch going to Houston? And you can go to Houston where they don't care about winning. Right, and you don't care about winning either. And there's hot chicks in Houston, so you'll be happy. Like, Ben Simmons will be happier in Houston than he is in Philadelphia. I can't wait for the NBA to start. And I'm curious to see how this will turn out. I'm seeing a proposed deal of D'Angelo Russell. Beasley and Russell. Like, what would, like, I wouldn't trade D'Angelo Russell. Now, this is good. This is good. SB Nation has the Raptors trading Goran Dragic, OG, Chris Boucher, and Malachi Flynn. Oh, you guys don't want Scotty Barnes, too? For Ben Simmons and Tybal. I will throw up if that happens. Like, I'll be hospitalized if that happened. I would be hospitalized. You know, I'm really excited the NBA is coming back, but it really is reminding me about how like stupid the NBA media really is. They're stupid takes. Stupid bad takes. Stupid, 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 stupid bad takes. Speaking of stupid, Jim Houston, not stupid, but Jim Houston is a longtime play-by-play voice. 40 years in the industry. Did Vancouver Canuck games, did 12 Stanley Cup finals nationally, 2 Olympics, couple of World Series. So, you know, very, very established and distinguished play-by-play career. Now, it's one of these guys that's sort of safe, right? Great save. Like, he was never, you know, you never really noticed him, good or bad. He was just one of those guys that was just sort of there. But he was quality, you know what I mean? He wasn't annoying. Right, you know, he did solid work, but it led me to tweeting about, my exact tweet was, the quality of play-by-play is in serious decline. All these dudes go to Syracuse or Northwestern, all learn the same boring crap, all sound the same, or all sound like they're hosting SportsCenter. And I stand by that. Like, listen to college, watch college football on ESPN. Like, I'm talking about just sort of the, you know, the dumb games and stuff like that on all their family and networks. It's amazing how, like, similar everybody sounds. You know, it's like the university system. It's the same thing. There's too many lawyers in the world, and there's too many play-by-play broadcasters. Like, so Syracuse, Northwestern, they're taking all these people's money, and basically ESPN only hires Syracuse grads, it seems. So they all learn the same inflection. They all have the same, they all talk the same, and there's no sense of humor. And if you'll notice, too, drives me crazy with the college football guys, the new dudes, they all overhype everything. Well, should he kick the extra point or go for two? And it's like, dude, it's obvious what they should do. You know, they look at a replay over and over. It's just sort of, it's just bad. It's just bad. And it's a declining problem because networks don't really want anybody with personality on television. Right? Like, look at Sean McDonough. Sean McDonough was good, right? Really good play-by-play guy. He used to rip the NFL on the broadcast. He'd basically say, oh, this league and their stupid flags and stuff. And, you know, he didn't last, right? Like, that's why, you know, you look at the guys that they have now. And I was thinking about it, too, because I saw our boy Frank Schwab tweeted about it. He goes, you know, nobody ever really talks about the Monday Night Crew, good or bad, with Riddick and with Greasy and with Steve Levy. You know, and that's just, and I was thinking about it too. It's like, it's Monday Night Football. How is it that you guys don't have like one star in the booth? It's Monday Night Football. Like, you used to have Howard Cosell, used to have Frank Gifford. Like, you know what I mean? You used to have Keith Jackson and Al Michaels. And it just used to be that sort of flash. Your ESPN, if, you know, I've heard that he doesn't want to do it, but I don't know why he wouldn't want to do it, because the guy's on a damn panel every Monday anyways, is Steve Young. I think Steve Young's probably one of the smarter guys they got. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's a Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Steve Young's amazing. Steve Young, the Mannings, they have the alternate feed now and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm just saying, play-by-play, it's just, it's bad. It's annoying. Like, I like to listen to the game. Like, you know, we're on the air all the time during the games, but on the weekend, I like listening to a game and stuff, but I get annoyed by it. You know, it just annoys me, and I end up, like, just hating them. I'm like, God, you're annoying. So I asked people, who's your favorite play-by-play guys right now? Because we were talking about hockey broadcasters and other sports starting to come up. Ian Eagle's very good. Ian Eagle, very, very good. Eagle's great. I'll tell you what, the Brooklyn Net broadcaster, great. Ian Eagle does it, but Ian Eagle's very good. Ian Eagle's great with the NFL. Ian Eagle's great with college basketball. Right? Like, Ian Eagle's very, very good. We have one dude who says... the pizza guy says Jim Ross. Fair enough. Jim Ross, fair enough. Ryan says Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall was great. That's what I'm talking about. Pat Summerall and Madden compared to the stiffs they have now. Think about it. Michaels and Collinsworth are good. Michaels and Collinsworth are good. I can't say they're not good. Collinsworth, I found that Collinsworth has been better the last couple of years. He's gotten away from the G-shucks, oh, G-shucks, Al, I'm just happy to be here type of stuff. But Pat Summerall was great. And maybe one of the reasons why Pat Summerall was great is because he was drunk. No kidding, like he admitted it. He used to drink in the booth during the games, right? And Pat Summerall, like, what was his catchphrase? There was no catchphrase. Hit Pat Summerall's catchphrase, touchdown Cowboys. That's a good Pat Summerall impression. Touchdown Eagles. And then just, that was it. Let the crowd. What do you think, John? That's what I think of Pat Summerall. That's what I hear. Touchdown Cowboys. No, touchdown Cowboys. And oh my God, can you believe?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money. inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Anger Management Craft continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency with Phone Town, Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. Let's get Schwabbed. Yahoo Schwab. Fred Schwab steps up and in from Yahoo Sports NFL Gaming Analyst. Frank, always a pleasure. How you doing tonight?
Doing good, doing good. Still just trying to, figure out this NFL madness. It's just everything changes week to week, right?
Yeah, you know what? We're still in that phase, aren't we? Where there's, you don't really know what, you don't really know what to make of what happened in week one, the overreactions from week one, then into week two. So, all right, teams played. Some teams haven't even played at home yet, right, Frank? I guess that's the best way of putting it. Some teams haven't even played a home game yet. So we're still in the figure out mode, aren't we?
No, absolutely. I mean, it'll take a while. You really don't know exactly what to expect out of all these teams. Well, the Packers are a great example. We saw, Monday night, coming off a terrible week one, obviously. They come out Monday night and just were terrible in the first half. The Detroit Lions are leading them at Lambeau Field at halftime. And then in the second half, they shut out the Lions, and Aaron Rodgers gets on track. So do we trust the two good quarters we've seen out of the Packers or the six bad ones? I mean, it's a tough deal to figure out exactly where we're at with the NFL, but that's what makes it so fun, because all these puzzle pieces, you're just trying to figure out what's real and what's not.
That's a great point. And I asked out loud the same question about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers the team to beat the Buffalo Bills in the second half, or are they the team that got punched in the mouth by the Raiders? And I think the jury's still out. But one thing the jury is not out on is the fact, and this was a developing trend before the pandemic, Frank, and as a betting man, I know you were aware of this, but even before the pandemic and then everybody, the massive discussion about how is it going to affect home field advantage without fans and all that other stuff. And we see the trend continues right now. 16-16 through 32 games. 16-16. Mm-hmm. Home field just doesn't mean as much. And I don't know. I know you bet on more than just football. But to me, besides college, let's talk pro sports. College is different. But professionally, I don't care, man. NBA, NHL, NFL, MLB, home field, home ice, home court, doesn't mean what it used to, bro. It just doesn't.
It doesn't. No, I agree. Unless you're finding a very specific spot, like, you know, this team has been on the road two straight weeks, or, you know, I mean, something, you know, they had this quick turnaround.
Bingo!
And they had
it's
to go,
the travel guys. You know, like, when teams lose on the road, I think people, oh, it was a hostile environment. No, it was a hostile road trip. They didn't like staying in a hotel for 17 straight days, right? Like, there's, right? It's not the game itself. It's the road trip. You just nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all know by now, these guys travel first class. It ain't like they're Babe Ruth getting on the train anymore. I mean, it is luxurious, and I think that that plays into it. And, you know, just the overall, everybody talking about, you know, why home field advantage exists or used to, with the referees usually being, you know, influenced by the home crowd. I think that there's a kind of a hypersensitivity towards that now that doesn't exist anymore. But, yeah, like you said, 16-16 straight up, 13-19 against the spread for home teams. I think home favorites, so like 5-13 right now, something crazy like that. It's just, it's one of those things where, you know, even a team like Seattle, which for years and years and years we thought, oh, Seattle's got a home field advantage. They're wonderful there. You know, they lose straight up to the Tennessee Titans in overtime. It's just, it's hard. It's not what it used to be when, you know, me and you, you know, we look at the lines and we're like, okay, we're going to give 3 points at a home team. I don't know. What are you giving them now? One and a half?
Well, you're exactly right.
It's kind of a weird deal. Yep.
There's a perception. We're in conversation with Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. You're right. There's a perception about some of these stadiums. And I remember even before the Mahomes era began, right? Before the Mahomes era began, and it used to be that, oh, Arrowhead. And they weren't dominant. Mm-hmm. And you look at Seattle, actually. You look at Seattle, they've developed into being a better road team over the last couple of years. And oftentimes, teams will be overvalued at home due to the perception. And as you stated, and I've spoken to a lot of cappers about this. We've spoken to odds makers about this. And nobody really wants to put a definitive number on it. But home field isn't 3 points anymore. And look, we talked about this last week. Remember the Packers and the Saints game? So it was supposed to be in New Orleans. They move it to Jacksonville. There was only a half-point move, bro. A half-point?
Yeah, yeah.
And you would figure that's the Superdome.
That's the Superdome. Right, yeah. The Superdome. That's where I went wrong. I was on the Packers week one because I was like, you know, giving the Superdome a half point, I give them still that home field advantage. But then, you know, Saints go out and trash the Packers. So, yeah, it is completely a shift. We can have a million theories why. We've talked about a few of them. But it's definitely there, and it's something you really have to pay attention to now.
All right, so let's jump in here. Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans. Everybody predicted that they would be two of the five teams that are 2-0 against the spread so far this year. So, hey, one of these teams is going to be 3-0 against the spread. I was all over Houston in week one against Jacksonville. I was on teasers with Cleveland in week two. What do you make of this? And talk about overreactions. Like, I think this number's a little high. I get it. Davis Mills is starting his first NFL football game. Is there too much love for the Panthers right now? You know, they caught the Saints. It was a train wreck. They were missing a million coaches, you know, players. We all know the backdrop. And they beat the New York Jets. Like, should the Panthers be 7.5-point favorites? And let's be real. Yes, it's Davis Mills, but the Texans are 2-0 against the spread.
You can make an argument they shouldn't be, but I think I really like the Panthers. I just like what I see from them. You know, I'm not a big eye test guy, but yet they you could play with. Sam Darnold has looked pretty good, and then their defense really flies around. This is a young, fun defense. I think this might end up being a top 12 defense, and you put it all together, and I'm believing. And I haven't seen anything out of Davis Mills in a preseason or regular season to give me any kind of hope that he can keep them in this game. I hate laying 7.5, especially in a primetime game. You know, it still is a real. The home team will be a little bit excited to be, you know, in prime time. But I'm believing this Panthers team. I think that this team's got something, and I think they're really well coached. And we saw it early last year before they ran out of gas. This is a Panthers team I'm buying, and I'm going to buy them on Thursday night too.
You know, normally Matt Rhule's programs take off in year three, right? He inherits a struggling program franchise. Year one struggles. Year two sort of flirts with 500. Year three breaks out. At least that was the pattern at Temple and at Baylor. And it seems to be continuing right now. So let me ask you, 6-0 to the over these primetime games. And everybody's going to say, wow, you know, not every primetime game is going to go over, and I don't see where the 44 points are going to come from with the 43.5 on the board for Thursday Night Football. But I heard the same thing last Thursday, too, Frank, with Washington and the Giants. I mean, that total was 40.5. And if you look, Houston had played in two track meets. Houston had played in two high-scoring games so far this year. So is Houston's defense capable of stopping anybody? Sort of like the Lions, Frank. I think we can make some money just betting the over in Lion games this year. What do you make of the total at 43.5 and the fact that the primetime games are 6-0 to the over?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to take the over. But we all only look at this one way when there's like a new quarterback or a bad quarterback or whatever it's going to be. We always say, well, that team's not going to score any points. Yeah, but that quarterback also might have a lot of quick three and outs. He might have a lot of turnovers deep in his own territory that are going to lead to quick points. So it's not necessarily that, you know, that one team might be stuck on, you know, zero the whole game. It's the other team might be scoring from some short fields and some easy situations. So yeah, you could see. I mean, and it, you know, like you said, the Houston defense hasn't been very good. Their offense has put up points. They're going to run the ball a ton. You could see this being, who knows, if I'm right about Carolina, maybe a 35-10 type of game, and they get, you know, two or three easy touchdowns just based on fumbles in their own Texans territory, a pick six, whatever it's going to be. I think that could definitely play in here. It'd be hard to take the over because you don't know how many points Houston's going to score, but you're right. It doesn't necessarily mean it isn't going to hit.
I like the way you think, Frank, because you're exactly right. I mean, I cashed so many tickets with Giant games going over the number because I caught on. I was like, every drive, something happens, right? Like, Daniel Jones is either going to make a big play, he's going to run down the field and pick up like 70 yards, he's going to look good on the drive, or he's going to fumble on his 18-yard line, right? Like, either way, something will happen. And it's something to think about. It's a great point because you're right, Frank. People often think, well, these bad quarterbacks, or there's no way. Look, I was guilty of it. I was guilty of it in week one. I was all over the Houston Texans. I had the money line in week one against Jacksonville, dude. But I was also one of those guys. How the hell are these two teams scoring 47 points or whatever it was? Like, I was like, there's no way. And it ended up being a track meet. So let me ask you, because I remember you and I talking about this last year about the Chiefs. And we said, you know, fact is, the Chiefs, like, they don't win by margins, right? They don't win by margins.
Right.
And here we are this year. And there's sort of that, well, the Chiefs are good. They're you know, everything's okay again. The offensive line is revamped. And Mahomes is healthy. But let's look at the facts right now. They won by 4 against the Cleveland Browns. And then they just lost to the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, this is real. The Kansas City Chiefs have been money burners, Frank.
Yeah, and I don't know what to make of it. You can get really negative if you want and say maybe the Chiefs are a little bit of a paper tiger. I don't really buy that. I think the Chiefs, you know, when you win as many games straight up as they do, it's hard for me to buy that they're not as good as we think.
Are they just overpriced because of the hype?
But I don't think so because, they're winning games, like you said, these aren't 14-point spreads and they're winning by 13. They haven't won.
You're right.
They've only won one game since last November 1st. They've only won one game by more than 6 points, and that was the AFC Championship game against the Bills.
Wow.
And
Thanks for reminding me, Frank.
A little overpriced.
As a Bills fan. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. But they are a little overpriced. That's part of it. And part of it, I think, is just they're in this kind of, you know, how the Shaq Lakers were after a few years where it's just like, whatever, we'll do what we got to do in the regular season. We'll turn it on. We have to. I think they're in that mode a little bit, where they're not out for blood trying to beat everybody by 21 points. But if this team is truly great, if we think that this is one of the dominant teams in the NFL, wouldn't you beat somebody by 17, 21, I mean, whatever it's going to be? You'd like to see that, and it just doesn't happen for them. And it's a little confounding. It's weird. They're 1-11-1 against the spread since last November 1st when they trounced the Jets. It's just tough to figure out exactly what's going on here.
1-11-1, wow. That's probably the least talked about trend in sports, isn't it? Like the fact honestly.
And we're trying to figure out what it means. Does it mean the Chiefs aren't as good as we think, or it's just they're overpriced or whatever? But it's a thing. They're not beating teams the way you would assume a great team would beat somebody.
Are you ready to take the Chargers plus the 6.5?
Oh, I already have. That was one of the easiest punches I had. I think that this is going to be a good game. I think the Chargers are a really legit team. Look, they lost last week, and that's going to happen. But I still believe in this team. I think overall they're pretty good. And I think that, you know, I think Justin Herbert is the kind of guy who, you give me him and 6.5 points, more often than not, I'm going to feel pretty good about that.
Man, 111-1 is Frank Schwab. All right, Frank, we got about a minute left, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. I know it's been a busy day for you. Line movement with the Buccaneers and the Rams. I'm seeing the Buccaneers -1.5 right now at some spots. Obviously, that's the game of the week, but you said you already jumped in on the Chargers. Is there another play you want to share with us that you already played and maybe a two-parter here? And what do you think of the Bucs and the Rams game? Because I think the Bucs win this game. I'm not overly sold. Speaking of like sort of overhyped defenses, I think the Bucs can move the ball in the Rams. Do you got another pick, or maybe this is the pick? What's your take on the way? We got about a minute left.
Yeah, definitely not Bucs Rams. I have no idea. I think this is just going to be a great game that I want to watch. Maybe I'll jump in live when I see something, but I can make a case for either team. The one game is not the game anybody's going to be watching, but why are the Giants only -3 against the Falcons? I think the Falcons other than the Jaguars, the worst team in football. What have they shown to justify only getting 3 points here? I thought the Giants actually played fairly well last week. They made mistakes, the offsides and some dumb stuff they did. But overall, from a play-to-play basis, I thought Daniel Jones played well. I thought their offense played well. Sterling Shepard's playing well. Saquon Barkley's only going to get better. And what have the Falcons done to give anybody confidence to take them +3 in this game? It's not even a bet on the Giants. It's a bet against the Falcons. Give me Giants -3. I was actually really shocked by this line.
Caught my eye as well. I feel like it's going to be one of these, like, they're going to be like a punching bag. You're right. And I'll tell you what, pardon the pun, but if Joe Judge doesn't win, he might be meeting the executioner down the road. They better win this game. It's pretty good, actually, that one. Hey, Frank, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Read Frank's work over at Yahoo Sports. Frank Schwab. Thanks, Frank.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Class. Thanks, thanks, Frank. We got Schwabbed. Frank's a smart guy. Fun Twitter follow, actually. If you like betting on football and sports, Frank is a fun Twitter follow. Yahoo Frank. Yahoo Schwab. Frank Schwab with us. So I'll tell you one thing, though. I'm going to sort of not disagree, but Frank is part of the media mob that is piling on right now. Davis Mills. Well, I haven't seen anything from Davis Mills to indicate, well, because you haven't really seen Davis Mills, right? Like, it's the thing that, you know, so people are going to judge, people judge people before, why? You know, do we need to remind you Tom Brady was a 6th-round draft pick? Davis Mills is 6'4", 217 pounds, was one of the biggest recruits coming out of high school out of the state of Georgia, ended up at a big-time quarterback college in Stanford, and was drafted in the 3rd round of the NFL draft. So I'm just saying that, I don't know. I think maybe the kid can play, right? Maybe, you know. As I stated too, and just, I'm not coming at Frank, and God bless you, great guest, but it's not, and I brought this up earlier though about Davis Mills. It's funny. I've heard so many people in the media and handicappers, and you're going to hear them over the next couple of days. Watch, we'll see what McKinnis says. I don't know if he's tuning in right now, so I don't know if he'll avoid it, but we're going to hear, Davis Mills. And I should ask people, are you a quarterback coach? Are you a football coach? Do you run a quarterback camp? Well, no. Then how can you tell me that this guy's not a good quarterback? Like, how are you going to judge, like, if you don't? So you haven't seen him play. And I know, I'm not talking about Frank Schwab, because I know Frank has seen him play. Although, he didn't play a lot of games, guys. He only played 6 games. Right? You know, Mills was only the starter in last year in a pandemic season. So that's the thing. I don't have any concerns about his physical skill set. But let's be real. You want to talk about inexperience. This guy's played less than 10 football games in his life, and he's starting on Thursday Night Football. Well, no, he played high school football. Late Night Anger Management Class. Bring it.